In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Good shooting, John. That seemed to be right on target.
That is a very nice compliment from the expert like you, Stan.
Why, thank you.
I'm John Kurlinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to this episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation and this earth and the things we find on this earth. Ooh, that sounds like a wind blowing. What is blowing? It's a cold wind blowing.
It's a cold blowing. Meanwhile, in Siberia.
Well, actually, folks, while we're trying to set the stage here, while Noah was growing grapes.
This is a cold program.
Noah's busy growing grapes and trying to raise his first gardens and watching his grandchildren get born.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, up in Siberia, woolly mammoth has traveled and has been multiplying for years.
Yes.
And the herds are moving up and Noah's getting old now.
Munching on grass and feeding and doing all those things that woolly mammoths do.
But the rest of the world wasn't quite as pleasant probably as the Middle East weather-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Weather-wise, the world is getting worse and animals are scattering around the earth. Earth and the being fruitful and multiplying stuff, but there are some nasty impediments to many of these animals and some of the mm-hmm. bigger animals that were still survive the ark. We think like saber-toothed kitty and and Mr. Woolly Mammoth.
Yeah.
They're up in the northern reaches of the great steppe plains of the former Soviet Union and the Russia,
as well as Alaska and the top of what is now Canada and so forth, as the beginnings of the ice age have their effect on the population of animals that are migrating up there.
Yeah.
And in particular, Mr. Woolly Mammoth. We want to look at an example today of woolly mammoths.
Woolly mammoths. And when people want to talk about woolly mammoths and also woolly rhinosaurs and saber-toothed cats, the primary question that people ask is, because you find such nice remains, I mean, you find fleshy, still clinging to the bone type specimens.
Yeah, frozen, yeah.
Frozen in the things. How'd they get there?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first question people ask.
Yes.
What did they eat?
And where can I get some? No, I'm just kidding.
Was it fast food or was it?
It was slow food. Because these animals were frozen in place, it seems like, with food in the stomach still digesting and everything. And people have heard of the stories of finding frozen woolen mammoths and, you know, creationists.
Partially digested food.
Yeah,
like
even some of the food was still in the mouth. And they wonder, and these are reasonable questions for creationists to ask, how does that fit into Noah's flood?
And how did they die, too?
Mm-hmm.
That's another question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of us who look at these issues don't think that really woolly mammoths, they fit in the flood well. They were actually small enough, and they rolled it out on the ark.
Okay.
And so after the ark was done... By the way, people get a notion that there's more species are evolving every year, and we're getting more and more species. The truth of the reality is, as there always has been a decline in the species ever since the fall.
That's right.
It was accelerated by the flood with the elimination of some subspecies, probably, and some extra large creatures, and only
getting
the smaller
back to
ones.
Basic types.
But after the flood, we believe there's been a rapid depletion of the species that number the earth.
Like dinosaurs. I mean, we've talked about dinosaurs here, and what happened to dinosaurs, they're dead.
Yes, they're dead.
And the ones, and we think that there were some that got on the ark, they probably very soon died in the new conditions, and mankind being worried about them a threat, and maybe sandwiches,
We think of that creatures like woolly mammoth and saber-toothed kitty and stuff like that, they survived, but as they grew, their population started to grow, but the post-flood years in much of the world, not the whole world, but in many parts of the world, was a fairly violent place weather-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd call it, I guess, what, earthquake-wise, volcano-wise.
Yes, sure.
There were lots of
the
settling of the flood, kind of.
Absolutely. The continental shelves were probably, the plates were still doing some moving, both laterally and maybe rising a bit more. And a lot of things, earthquakes, volcanic action still, we think, post-flood. And
huge
and the,
storms. We
the
talked
winds.
About
we talked about hypercanes here on Sink the Beagle a few weeks ago. These kinds of effects were still tremendous differences in temperature variations, which would push these winds. And we talked about in a hypercane on how these warmer waters that came from the flood, the oceans were warmer because of the volcanic action there. They were throwing up tremendous amounts of moisture.
Storm and moisture, and eventually you were developing mile thick sheets of ice on the caps.
The poles were getting colder and colder, and as the water precipitated out over these polar areas,
it snowed.
It snowed, and maybe some of these poor critters were around at that time.
Yeah, and the question that people have to ask is, well, how'd they get there? We think that was through Noah's Ark, and they were multiplying, and they were basically living up in that area. But how did they die? And that becomes a question that we do know how some of them died.
Okay.
We do know they were, it was not because of the bog food they ate. They didn't have a bad bog burger.
It wasn't a bad bog burger. Okay.
No. And it wasn't because they were all of a sudden, it's snowing and just got, some of these are frozen
what
in
is
upright
this
position.
White, yeah, what is this white stuff?
Anyway. No, we do know, though, they did die in a storm, probably a dust storm.
Many of them
were asphyxiated in real severe dust storms. I suspect in certain parts, especially when you have these lots of winds over the steppes of Russia, there were probably some areas where you had the equivalent of maybe a dust bowl starting up one year or one of these bad years after the flood. Maybe it was 100 or 200 or 300 years after the flood, maybe even 500 years after the flood. These huge dust storms might have kicked up.
Yes.
And we do know that a lot of these woolly mammoths are buried in dust and have suffocated, were asphyxiated in these dust storms, and they were standing upright and literally buried. Now, that explains how they died, and they were somewhat buried in dust. Another thing that we do know is that this dust, this dry dust, had what they call a capillary action.
Capillary action is like blood vessels?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, capillary action is like a straw or a tree that's drawing from the ground. The roots are taking in water and minerals, and they're sucking it all the way up to the leaves to the top of the tree. Capillary action draws the moisture up, and the dry area, kind of like sticking a paper towel in a little bit of water.
Okay.
You watch the water rise inside the dry paper towel. This drew the moisture from the area when it came in the area, from this bog or whatever.
The wet, boggy ground.
Up into it, and they actually became encased in this kind of dusty, muddy ice water. And with some snow coming in on top of them, they were buried.
Well, now, some of the listeners are probably aware that they have found virtually complete frozen carcasses of woolly mammoths. And let's face it, we're talking about a pretty big animal.
Yeah, the
and
size
some
of an
of
elephant.
Them have been fairly complete, up to the number right now is right around 100.
A little less than 100 carcasses.
Carcasses have been found. And I know I was in Juneau, Alaska, in the State Museum there, and I remember seeing part of a woolly mammoth. I also saw a muskox. I think it was a frozen muskox.
Frozen muskox. But what these museums don't tell you is right along with all these carcasses, there are millions of bones.
You mean mammoth bones?
Mammoth bones, woolly rhinoceros bones.
Some kind of a mass killing event that didn't particularly freeze all the carcasses, but certainly killed the animals.
Killed the animals and buried them, too. And so there are those as well. And we think that the flood or some post-storms that did that, not all of them survived so neatly as the few carcasses they had found. Maybe the remains of some of the last ones. And people are doing some more scientific study on these very issues.
Okay, so, now I've got a good question for you, John. When you're ready, of course, finish your thought.
Well, that doesn't take long. What's your question?
This is a great question, I think. I think anyone who's thinking now about post-flood, and you just mentioned millions, or at least a million carcasses, how in the world can there be a million mammoths after the flood? How much time?
Well, actually, what they've decided and they've discovered is that
Wasn't that a good question? Was that a good question?
That was a good question.
Okay.
I thought that question too myself
when
I was thinking of this problem. But the answer to this question actually has been researched somewhat as far as probabilities. These are all probability studies. They have discovered from studying the reproduction rate of elephants, which are basically woolly mammoths, a similar type of breed of animal, in Africa. They've been studying the ones that were unprotected, that were subject to poachings, and the ones who were protected in game parks. They discovered that the ones who are unprotected would probably double their populations about every 25 years. It would take the double if they had just a little bit or no protection.
Okay.
But the ones who are in the, like in South African game parks, and we've been down there before, they actually double their population every 10 years.
Every 10 years.
And so when you start doing geometric.
There's probably not a lot of people up in the Antarctic, in the Arctic area that early after the flood. Eventually they were there, and eventually they did hunt mammoth, but maybe not early. Okay. Let's assume 10 years. What can you do in 10 years?
Well, in 10 years, you double the population.
Okay.
And in,
if we're talking 500 years for,
if we're talking,
for an ice age,
500 years, let's say 600 total. In 300 years, you could have over, if nothing ever happened to them, you'd have over a billion.
So, over a billion in 300 years?
350.
350
But we're assuming some kill and some die and not all make it and there's some disease.
Okay, I withdraw my question. There's enough time.
There's enough time for lots of these things to get born and die.
Okay.
And usually, you know, we're probably thinking a couple million, you know, by then that would have been born and died.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Continue. I just thought I'd bring that up.
Well, that's one thing. And the dust storm suffocated some of these. They were buried in the Ice Age. And we actually have a torpedo text that deals with some of this stuff here, Stan, kind of maybe a little on the fringe of eisegesis.
Fringe of eisegesis? No, we are not on the fringe of anything. We go storming in, banners high. This is from Job 38:22-23. Have you entered the treasury of snow? God says to Job. Have you entered the treasury of snow, or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble?
I think the woolly mammoths have walked in that storehouse of snow.
That was an early time of trouble, wasn't it?
They walked in that storehouse of snow, and then someone closed the door, and they got frozen in it.
Okay, so this is evidence of a post-flood ice age and some of the terrible weather patterns that were there, dust patterns and snow and ice.
And though it's a plausibility study sort of in some respects, evolution has even a more difficult time explaining how these woolly mammoths got buried alive and some survived and some are fossilized remains below them, etc. So there is some bigger issues even from the evolutionary side.
Well, evolutionists say if you can't see it happening now, it ain't happened before. Isn't that the key to understanding the past is the present?
That is correct.
So we haven't seen any woolen mammoths or unwoolen mammoths or anything frozen like that.
No, nothing has been frozen like that, maintained and kept, but this seems to be the best that the evidence has produced. And just certain species have been becoming more extinct. And the sad reality is they're becoming extinct because man has chosen to depart from a relationship with his creator.
That's right.
That's the real sad reality behind all these billions of dead things that are buried in layers of rock.
That's right. All the extinctions we're talking about, the flood itself, the millions and millions and millions of creatures that died in the flood, they were there because of Adam and Eve's sin.
And the follow-up of the many generations did not enhance their survival chances. And God kind of put in a self-preserving mechanism, but it didn't preserve them all to give them a fear of man. But there's also the storms and the natural consequences of sin on the environment that had also suffering the curse of sin. The ground is cursed, and the atmosphere is probably cursed to a degree. And we're subject to all these things now. And so sometimes when you ask, why does this happen, it's not so much an act of God. It was an act of man that create the storms that have come about that do punish our world today. And that sort of leaves, I think, answers some of the questions some people have when they want to ask why.
And the geologic record definitely screams catastrophe, whether it's during the flood itself or post-flood, as we think these Cretaceous, these Pleistocene, I should say, deposits that involve mammoths and so on show. There was still some catastrophe even post-flood.
And what's been happening is that there has been a decline, actually, in the severe storms. There's actually, contrary to what Hal Lindsey teaches, there's been a decline in earthquake. This exponential decline, not only in the number of species that exist on this earth, but in the weather patterns. Things are gradually going more toward a stasis-type world condition. And we notice a few big storms. We notice a few things only because of our media is trying to almost blow things out of proportion. But the big ones occurred a while back. But really, the only next time it's going to interrupt this decline is when the second coming of Jesus. He's going to come in someday and change the whole world.
And that's when the time of trouble truly comes. Stay tuned next week for Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.